Once again, we are going to look together into the Word of God to discover truth. And my, we have to pray all the time for wisdom, because the Bible is certainly not easy to understand. We're learning that as we go along, as God is unfolding various things for us. And sometimes we just wonder, where is truth? For example, in our family devotions the last few days, we were reading through the book of Acts, and we came to the Sadducees, who were the teachers. There were two classes of teachers in the church, in the synagogues and in the temple in the days of the apostles. There were the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection of the dead, and the Pharisees did believe in the resurrection of the dead. And you remember the Apostle Paul was trained as a Pharisee, and he did believe in the resurrection of both the just and the unjust. He himself declared as God spoke through his mouth. And so you wonder, well, what's wrong with the Sadducees? Well, they were honestly believing what they were saying, because they had read that in the Bible, that there is no resurrection. If we go to, for example, to Job chapter 14, to Job 14, we read in verse 12, "So man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep." Now, that's not just an isolated verse. We read, for example, in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 17. Isaiah 43. And I'm only going to read two or three of these. There are other verses also that teach the same idea. Isaiah 43:17, "Which bringeth forth a chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise, they are extinct," and it's a word that means they are extinguished, like fire is extinguished. "They are quenched as tow," and tow is a it was used for a wick for the fire, and it is quenched. They are extinguished, and we see a number of verses like this. So the Sadducees had quite a few verses going for them. And on the other hand, we have a verse like we're very familiar with in Daniel 12, verse 2, where God speaks about the fact that let's go to Daniel 12, verse 2. Daniel 12, verse 2. "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." And then later on, the Lord Jesus himself, and the Apostle Paul would have been familiar with this, why Jesus said in John 5, verse 28 and 29, "The hour cometh when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come forth, some to the resurrection of life and some to the resurrection of judgment." So the Pharisees had verses going for them, particularly not as many in the Old Testament as the Sadducees had, but it was such a bone of contention between them that it really divided them into two major teaching groups. They were totally separated from each other just based on that one doctrine. And because the Bible just wasn't clear, it you could make a case for either side somehow. But in our day, because we're living at the end of time, we of course understand we can resolve all of this, because yes, the unjust will rise, but they will not rise to life. They will, like we read in, for example, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 14. Isaiah 26, verse 14. There we read, beginning in verse 13, "O Lord," or Jehovah our God, "lords beside thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. They are dead. They shall not live. They are deceased. Another word for death. They shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them and made all of their memory to perish. And so here the Sadducees would have loved this verse and no doubtly did. But it also tells us very plainly that those who rise will not live if they are the unsaved. They will rise, but then we learned and remember when we went to Jeremiah chapter 7 and 8, that's one of the very descriptive places where God tells us how they will rise, and we're beginning to find harmony in all of this. In verse 34 of Jeremiah 7, then will I cause to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. At that time, saith Jehovah, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah and the bones of his princes and the bones of the priests and the bones of the prophets and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem out of their graves, and they shall spread them before the sun and the moon and all the host of heaven, whom they have loved and whom they have served and after whom they have walked and whom they have sought and whom they have worshipped. They shall not be gathered nor be buried. They shall be for dung upon the face of the earth. And that is the verses that help us to see how to resolve the dispute between the Sadducees and the Pharisees. There is a resurrection of the dead, of the unjust, but it does not mean they're resurrected to life. They are resurrected to shame altogether. That is why you remember Daniel 12, verse 2 says that they will be resurrected to reproach and contempt, to shame, because that is an integral part of the judging process. Well, this only tells us that the Bible is very complex, and we have to patiently go through and. And if we keep going and praying for wisdom in our day, we can begin to find truth. However, we're going through Jeremiah 33 right now, and we've come to verse 9. It's again a difficult verse. Jeremiah 33, verse 9. And it shall be, first of all, remember in verse 8, God had said, and I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities. And remember in our last study, we were so glad to read that, yes, we come into this world with the infection of sin. We come in under the wrath of God, and yet Christ comes with a pardon, the pardon, so that the judgment process stops for us, so that we don't actually die like the unsaved, because when we die, our body is put in the grave already. We've been given eternal life in our soul, so that we've gone to live and reign with Christ in heaven, and even the body that was put in the grave has the wonderful promise that when it's resurrected, it will be a glorified spiritual body. It will be life. There will be life there. And that's because Christ has come with a pardon. But now we get to verse 9, and this is a very, very curious verse, but it shall be, we read here, and it shall be to me a name of joy. That is, once we are pardoned, a praise and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them, and they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. The first question, of course, as we look at this verse, is when we read fear and tremble, Immediately our thoughts go to Philippians chapter 2, where we are told to work out our salvation with fear and a trembling. And so it apparently looks like that it is the believers that will fear and tremble. But the fact is, it's not talking about the believers who will fear and tremble, because when we look at these words as they're used elsewhere in the Bible, we find that the word tremble is a very, very key word. It is a word that is normally always used for the terrible event of Judgment Day, when God comes to destroy all of the enemies of the gospel. Again and again, we hear about the day of judgment. It's a day when God will act as the judge in destroying all of the enemies of the gospel. But that judgment, of course, already began in the Garden of Eden. And so how can it say that he's coming to judgment when it already began in the Garden of Eden? Well, remember when we were studying months ago about this whole matter of salvation, and we read verses that said that come to the Lord with all your heart and believe on him and call on him, you shall be saved. And remember, we discovered, well, wait a minute. You won't call on the name of the Lord with all your heart unless you already have become saved. So how can it be that you shall be saved? And then remember that we recognize that our salvation is not complete as yet. When our salvation began already at the beginning of time, when God chose us, and then God finally made payment for our sins, and then finally he applied that word to our hearts so that we became in our soul a new resurrected soul. But there was still some of God's salvation plan that had to be completed. What was that? We had to receive our resurrected bodies. And so it was a fact that we have become saved, but we also shall become saved. Now that parallels the judgment process. We have the unsaved are being judged constantly, beginning in the Garden of Eden. With each sin, there's further judgment, and yet there is the completion of the whole judgment process, and that includes the fact that what we're talking about right here, as they hear about the goodness that is coming to the believers. How do they hear that? We're going to puzzle about that a little bit. And of course, the judgment process is not completed until everything is burned up with fire, till it's all gone, and the earth and the universe is no more, and all of its works, and the only thing that exists now then will be the new heaven and the new earth, where the true believers are. But here we read, in verse 9, "And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do to them, and they shall fear and tremble." Let's look at the word tremble. It is translated in places as quake or as shake. In other words, it is a word that identifies with the beginning of the day of judgment. If we go to Isaiah chapter 13, Isaiah chapter 13 in verse 11, "And I will punish the world," and that's really the essence of judgment that is still coming, it's punishment. "I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold," and that man would have to be the Lord Jesus. And fine gold, or the gold of Ophir, is scarce, but Christ is even more scarce. There is no Christ anymore in the world. "Therefore I will shake," that's the tremble, the word tremble, "I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall move out of her place in the wrath of the Jehovah of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. This is talking about that judgment day, that day of final destruction, final punishment that is coming at the time that the believers are being raptured. Or again, we can read in Joel chapter 2, verse 1. In Joel chapter 2, we find that same word found, and it's found in a dozen different places. But normally, they're of this sense altogether. In Joel chapter 2, verse 1, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all of the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. There again, that same word, tremble. Fact is, in verse 10, it says, and the earth shall quake. That is the same word, tremble. Before them the heavens shall tremble, and the sun and moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. That's Joel 2, verse 10. And when will the sun and the moon, when will the stars be cast down, and when will the sun be darkened and the moon turn to blood? On that day. That is the beginning of Judgment Day. It's the beginning when God is finishing up his wrath upon the unsaved of the world. But we still have a problem. As we look back in Jeremiah 33:9, the peoples of the world who are not saved at this time of shaking, at this and a trembling, they shall hear of all the good that I will do, and that's all the good that he will do to the believers. How are they going to hear this? For example, the day of great tribulation, when God is preparing the churches and the world for this judgment day, and do they know of the good that God is doing to all the true believers? No, they don't know. They don't even know where the true believers are. In fact, they think all the true believers, if they're going to be identified with Christ, are in the churches. And that's not where God's blessing is, because they are being prepared for judgment. How will they hear? When that rapture occurs, it is going to be a big, big, big statement to the world. They will be caught up in the sight of their enemies. It is a huge supernatural activity. And what is that wonderful goodness? It's everything that God has promised. It coalesces all the focal point of God's salvation plan, that finally in our bodies we have gone to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the big, big, big proof that these that have gone up are truly children of God, that they truly have been blessed. And so they shall hear all the good that I do, and they shall fear and tremble. God has given us ears to widely talk about this all over the world rather than 40 days, because God could have done it just like in the days of Nineveh. We do have radio and internet and everything else all over the world, and it's conceivable that God could have set up a program of finally announcing to the world Judgment Day is going to be 40 days away. That could have happened very, very plausibly. But they will, when this finally happens, they will be fearing and shaking and trembling. They will know, and in preparation for the final act of God's punishment on the unsaved, that act when they are utterly destroyed. Well, we'll have to stop at that. It is indeed a sad report, and yet it's God's Word, and therefore we must go through these verses very carefully and try to understand what God is teaching.